my friends, to the That's Ball Folks podcast. I'm your host, Josh Reynolds. This is episode 7. Man, this year did not get started off how I wanted it to. I apologize again about the delay in these episodes. My Achilles has been giving me a nice little run for my money. But I'm back on the road. Things are good. I'm traveling again. We'll talk about that. And I'm healing up. But man, again, we've got a lot to talk about. A lot in the NBA world and just basketball world in general is going on. Let's start at the top. Kyrie Irving with possibly the greatest buzzer beater that I've ever seen, and that's not an exaggeration. We'll talk about that. Grady Dick and Anthony Black with the most controversial jersey swap of all time. Is Ben Simmons' career over? There's a very good chance that it is. DeAndre Ayton is sleeping on air mattresses? We'll dive into that hard-hitting story. The Sixers are battling for their lives, just trying to stay above that play-in bubble, which I've talked about so much and so regularly. Tyrese Maxey is now taking UFC shots to the face. Embiid's back at practice. LeBron and JJ Redick announced that they are teaming up to have the greatest basketball podcast of all time. We'll talk about that. Wemby is unlike anything that we've ever seen. I feel like I say that every episode, but we'll dive into that. How about Zion Williamson actually taking his weight serious? Anthony Edwards with truly one of the greatest posters that we have ever seen, ever. And a March Madness breakdown. How's everybody doing? Like I said, I'm back on the road. I'm traveling again, finally. Within this two-week span, I'll have been in L.A., Waco, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Seattle, Washington, and Sacramento. How about that? That's a lot of travel. Also, have to give a shout-out to my new Utes friend that I met yesterday at the Dallas airport, who is also recovering from a torn Achilles, and he helped me with my bag and my scooter on the rental car shuttle. You're a good man if you're listening to this. I was chatting with him about this, and it's kind of funny. Traveling with this is not fun. I've got, like, my scooter, my crutches, a carry-on. I'm in my big, like, Aircast boot. I've got a backpack. It's not the funnest thing to do. Salt Lake Airport is actually pretty nice because it's new, and they put new tile in, and I can just zip all over the place on my little scooter. But we were talking about this, and it's funny. People are either really nice and want to help, or they are very rude. And there's really no in-between. It's kind of hilarious. I don't know what is wrong with people. I mean, like, truly, I get that I'm kind of an inconvenience and that I'm in the way a lot, but, like, simple little things, people are so nice. They're like, hey, can I just, like, carry your roller bag up the jetway for you? I'm like, yeah, thanks. And then there's people who will legit, I got shouldered the other day getting off the plane. Dude didn't want to wait for me, so he just, like, blew right by me and shouldered me. I don't know, people are weird. Anyway, I'm grateful to be somewhat back in commission, and it feels nice to travel again. Let's start at the top here, and let's talk about the Sixers. This is a podcast heavily favored by my favorite team, the Sixers, and we'll start there. Sixers beat the Heat last night. Huge win. They move back into the sixth seed. Like I said, I just preached it. Weather that storm. Embiid is finally back at practice. They are expecting, the reports are that Embiid's going to be back the first or second week of April. That is slowly approaching. They showed him, the game was on ESPN last night, and they showed him practicing. He looked good, looked in good spirits. Kendrick Perkins, for whatever reason, is totally anti Embiid coming back, which is ridiculous. But again, we talk about this. Could this be the one year that the Sixers actually get healthy in time to go into the playoffs to make a run? I don't know. Look, when Embiid comes back, obviously he's going to be on a minute restriction. Obviously it's going to be in the regular season. But this could be the perfect time. Like, do I expect Embiid to get back to the form that he was playing at before he got hurt? No, of course I don't. But even a shell of that will be huge. The way that he impacts the Sixers' just overall game plan on both sides of the ball is just so ridiculous. You can't even make it up how important he is to this team. Tyrese Maxey, he's back from his concussion. He's doing his thing. He's got, what, four straight or three straight games of 30 points? Like, he is scoring the ball. I think he's a runaway favorite for most improved player, which I love. Obviously, this being his first career All-Star year, love that. But he can only do so much. And with, bless their hearts, Mo Bamba down low And Paul Reed's just an interesting player. He's not a big man. Very just odd. But, like, Mo Bamba is borderline unplayable. He's not an NBA player. And we keep going back to him. Look, he actually gave decent minutes last night. I will give him that. I think it's pretty awesome. I love it. I love seeing him actually contribute, but he's not the answer. He's not even an answer for a backup big. When Embiid does come back, I pray to the heavens that it's Paul Reed minutes who we see and not Mo Bamba minutes. Obviously, the playoffs, that bench and rotation shortens. I would just really, really, really hope that those Mo Bamba minutes go away. But again, Maxey's played him unbelievable. He's just been simply amazing. And again, I talked about him taking a UFC hit. Brandon Miller in the Hornets game the other night clocked him with what looked like the most intentional, obvious elbow directly to the nose. And then I had never seen an elbow up that high. I had never seen something so intentional like that since, like, Ron Artest, and tweeted it. A, I learned that there are Charlotte Hornets fans, that they exist. I didn't know that. And I guess I did know it, but these are the same fans who gave Miles Bridges a standing ovation when he came back. So not the greatest thing there to be tied to. And then they were, like, in denial. They were saying that Brandon Miller shouldn't have got tossed for that, that it wasn't intentional. I don't know. Yeah, there's, like, being a homer and there's being a realist. That was wild. I didn't even think that you could actually argue that, but they did. Anyway, two straight wins for the Sixers, looking good. Nico Batum, man. My goodness. Let's talk about two former Hornets. Nico Batum and Kelly Oubre Jr. Nico Batum doesn't really do things that show up, like, big time on the stat sheet. You're not going to look at his box score. If you don't watch the game, you're not going to look at his box score post-game and be like, wow, what a game for Batum. But if you watch the game, you're like, oh, man, that dude's fingerprints are all over the entire game. The Sixers don't win either of those games without Nico Batum. He does all the intangibles. I love him. I pray that this isn't his last year. I would love to bring him back. I hope that we can bring him back. It seems like he's actually enjoying it. I hope that that's something the Sixers front office can do. And also Kelly Oubre Jr. The fact that they were able to get him on a minimum deal is just mind-blowing. He has been... Here's a take for you. He has been what we expected Tobias Harris to be when Joel Embiid went out. Now, Tobias Harris has missed the last few games with an ankle injury, and it's been the best possible thing for the Sixers. They look like a different team without him. Truly. You guys listened to my last episode. You know how I feel about Tobias Harris. When he plays well, great. We want him to play well. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't. And I don't know if he's checked out. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I have no idea what it is. But the Sixers look like a better, different team with him not on the floor. And Kelly Oubre Jr. has just been hooping, man. He, again, I've said it all season, he went through a little rough stretch there where it was just kind of ugly basketball, and it was his old self where he kind of turned into a little bit of a chucker. I didn't like that at all. But he's found a nice little rhythm. And, again, he just blends in with the dudes, with the squad. Like, everybody seems like they're just like a team, a unit. And it makes me really happy. I really like it. Big Kelly Oubre fan. Love the way that he's been hooping. And how about the Heat? Jimmy Butler didn't play again. I read something that said now Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid have missed the entire Sixers Heat series so far this year. That's pretty crazy. But they don't have Jimmy Butler. They don't have Tyler Hero. And they still make it a game. In typical Sixers fashion, they make it a game still and just keep you sweating. But Kyle Lowry just, again, took over. I had my doubts. Of course I did. When he signed, I'm like, I saw what he was on the Heat. I didn't like it. And he has been a breath of fresh air. Anybody who's watched the Sixers with him there knows what he has meant to this team. And he's been fantastic. He hit clutch shots, like a deep three, and had this incredible acrobatic finish late in the game, which I love. I don't know. I really feel good. If we get Embiid back, obviously D'Anthony Melton's still hurt. Robert Covington's still hurt. The Melton thing's sad. Like, he's out with the back. Who knows how long that's going to be. Covington rehabbing, I believe, his knee. He's been getting back on the court a little bit to practice. So I don't know. Again, I am a hopeful Sixers fan. I'm an optimist. And I like to believe the whole Ted Lasso point to the belief sign. But just maybe, Embiid's healthy come playoff time. We stay above the play-in bubble. all of a sudden we're a nightmare matchup at six. I'd really like it. I would really, really like that. But also, how about this? The Sixers' schedule coming up, they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, is brutal. So it's kind of wishful thinking to think that the Sixers are going to stay above that play-in line, especially with it being at least a few weeks away before Embiid comes back and actually gets minutes. But I just want to walk you through this because people say gauntlet of a schedule, and I think they throw around that term maybe a little bit lackadaisical, and this is the definition of a gauntlet of a schedule. Like, you almost can't believe it. You have to think that maybe the schedule makers or somebody at the NBA had a problem with the Sixers and just wanted to throw this their way because it is unbelievable. Listen to this. Their next game is Wednesday at Phoenix, followed by Friday at the Lakers, Sunday at the Clippers, Monday at the Kings. Then they get the Clippers at home in Philly on Wednesday, followed by the Cavs and Raptors. This, what, six-game stretch? I don't think anybody would blame them if they go 0-6. But again, that's just a total dagger. Total dagger to a very tight Eastern Conference race, especially in that little 6-7-8 between Philly, Indy, and Miami. It's basically between those three for 6-7-8. Orlando, it looks like they got a two-game lead in fifth. The Knicks, just a half game above them, but unless somebody gets on a heater and the Knicks or somebody else or the Magic start losing things here, that's who I think ends up in the 6-7-8 spot. And it's going to be brutal. Again, you can't blame the Sixers if they go down like that. I think that they'll sneak one of those away. I think that that's realistic. But, man, talk about a gauntlet. It is going to be tough sledding, but I wish them the best of luck. And, you know, I'll tune in for every game. Okay, let's start at the top of the list of the things I talked about. We'll end with a March Madness breakdown, and we'll go over all of that. Kyrie Irving's buzzer beater against the Denver Nuggets the other night truly was, I think, the most impressive buzzer beater I've ever seen and has a legitimate argument for the greatest buzzer beater of all time. If that was in the playoffs or, heaven forbid, the NBA Finals, it would be the greatest of all time. Like, obviously, you're going to look at Michael Jordan's shot or Elo or Kobe's many, many buzzer beaters, and obviously those get the nod. But just from a pure difficulty standpoint, and something that we've really never seen before, a lefty running floater with 2 seconds left over Jokic is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I have watched that clip and every possible angle I can find of it over and over and over and over. I tweeted it, but like, it's mesmerizing. I think that's the best word to describe it. I can't get enough of it. It was unbelievable. Kyrie Irving is a freak. I think that there is a legit argument to go down that he is maybe the most skilled player in the league from a strictly like shot making handle standpoint. Like, who else is taking that shot? Nobody. Who else is making that shot? Nobody. He said post-game, he's like, yeah, sometimes I just like work on a left-handed floater for like an hour in the gym. And then he did it. And then he made it. That's amazing. It truly, if you haven't seen it, you're living under a rock, but please get on my social, get on Twitter and take a look, because I think I tweeted like five things about it. I can't get enough of it. Okay, let's talk about Ben Simmons. This is no secret. All Ben Simmons needed to do was apologize, not even apologize, own up to what he did in Philly and passing the ball off to Thybulle underneath in the Hawks series. Just own it. Straight up own it. And I truly think that his career is way, way different than it is now. Now, look, I'm not here to say his back injury isn't real or isn't legit or anything like that, but it's kind of, I don't know, it sucks. Like, this is what, his second major back surgery he's had. And I don't know if he bounces back from this. He came back for 10 games, something like that, something ridiculous. And it's sad, man. What a fallout. And while we're talking about Simmons, how about just the Brooklyn Nets period? And talk about fallout. How about Mikal Bridges period? I feel like an absolute clown for jumping on this podcast and singing his praises last year, saying that he is borderline superstar status, just to see him fall off like a cliff this year. not just a fall off, he like vanished. And their roster makes no sense. They are in a bad way, and they are not going to be good for a long time. And I don't know what they're doing or who, if they think they're going to build around Bridges, I have no idea. But I think it's clear that we jumped the gun, myself included, talking about Bridges being the guy. He would be a hell of a second or third option, probably third. Probably the best third option there is. And it's really sad. What a fall off. The Nets are a nightmare. Simmons, who knows? I will be absolutely shocked if Simmons can get anywhere near back to, like, playing shape. Look, the dude was an all-star. The dude was all-NBA, one of the best defenders in the league. And then he's nothing. He doesn't even play. Really sad. Very, very sad. Speaking of sad, how about the fact that DeAndre Ayton has been sleeping on an air mattress? There's a quote from him that came out where he said, yeah, there's a lot of factors of why I got off to a bad start this season, and sleeping on an air mattress is one of them. Why was the homeboy sleeping on an air mattress? Obviously, he's been in Portland for a minute now. Get that dude a king-size bed. Get that dude a California king-size bed. He deserves it. He's a huge human. That was too funny. I read that and really enjoyed it. Ayton is a character in himself, just how he is and how he plays. I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but we'll save those for when it's relevant, because him sleeping on an air mattress doesn't warrant me attacking him. Okay, I want to talk about this because it was just announced yesterday that LeBron and JJ Redick have teamed up for what is truly, it's going to be the greatest basketball podcast ever put together. I mean, the fact that LeBron is even jumping on a podcast is amazing. Mind the Game is what it's called. The first episode actually is dropping today when this drops, and I can't wait to listen to it. It's just strictly basketball, and here is what I love about it. They are literally taking the power out of guys like Skip Bayless, guys like Stephen A. Smith, these crazy take guys that just drive you absolutely insane, but you always wonder in the back of your mind, it's like, okay, do they really mean that? Are they just trying to get clicks? They are taking that completely out of their hands, and it is coming directly from their mouth. Who would you rather listen to for a basketball take? LeBron James or Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith? I love that LeBron is down to do this, and nobody better to team up with than JJ Redick. I plug his podcast, Old Man and the Three, every single episode. It's my favorite basketball podcast, and I think this one is just going to take over. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to listen. So after you listen to this, I haven't even listened to it yet, but hop on over. Mind the Game. That's what it's called. JJ Redick and LeBron James. Going to be amazing. We got to talk about Victor Wembanyama. Every single highlight is something that like you've never seen before. Now, we know he's huge. We know he's just a freak of nature. But what he does is unlike anything that we've ever seen. Now, people argue all the time of like, okay, well, he had the greatest expectations of all time. He had the greatest weight put on his shoulders. Everybody was like, oh, he's going to be better than LeBron. Obviously, anyone in their right mind is going to be like, okay, you got to really do a lot to be better than LeBron James. But I would argue he has exceeded my personal expectations so far this rookie year. Honestly, the biggest one being he has played. He has been healthy. It's been huge. What did they say? The best ability is availability. And he has been actually on the court playing basketball games. And not just playing, but dominating. He has an offensive highlight or two every single time he plays. And defensively, I think that he is, I mean, it's him and Rudy will win it. Rudy Gobert, that is. But Wemby is second, like 1A, 1B for Defensive Player of the Year. He is going to take over the Defensive Player of the Year award. Maybe even have more than Rudy Gobert by the time his career is over. He's unbelievable. Now, there was like some talking heads who were saying, oh, like he's going to ask out of San Antonio if they don't get it right soon. It's like, hold on. He's with Popovich. He's not even through his entire rookie year yet, and people are saying, oh, they better get it right or he's going to ask out. Nope, that's not how it works. It's most certainly not how it works in San Antonio. He was happy to go to San Antonio because he knows the process there. He knows what Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, he knows what all those guys did. He's going to follow that exact same roadmap, and everything's going to be just fine. He's not going anywhere. But I do expect them to obviously get better through the draft, but I fully expect them to make some smart moves in free agency or trades, go out and get somebody who will match his game and his skill set, because it's one of the most unique that we've ever seen. Speaking of one of the most unique we've ever seen, Zion Williamson, he has quietly put together a terrific year, and nobody talks about it because the only time he's in the headlines is when they're talking about his weight, when they're talking about how he doesn't care, or all of this stuff. And it came out yesterday that there's a report he lost 25 pounds since the in-season tournament. And you can tell when you watch him play, he just looks spry. He looks good. He looks like he did at Duke, truly. Obviously a little less above the rim, which you kind of expected that to come in the NBA. But he's been great. And the Pelicans, again, putting together a very sneaky good season, and nobody's talking about it. And they need to. The Pelicans are sitting at 41-26. They're in fifth in the West. They just kind of snuck right in there. They could even catch the Clippers, who are on a little skid. I don't know. I really like that Zion's taking it seriously. I like that they are getting healthy at the right time. I like the Pelicans. They're fun. But again, they're sneaky. They just sneak right in there. Okay, we got to talk about this before we talk about March Madness, and we'll go over the whole bracket. Anthony Edwards had the greatest poster, one of the great, I'll say it, the greatest in-game dunk I think I've ever seen against the Utah Jazz last night. It was unbelievable. Right over John Collins, and as a Sixers fan, I love to see it because John Collins put Joel Embiid in a full-blown headlock with his offhand and dunked on him in the playoffs, and then he wore a shirt of the dunk and the poster in a post-game presser. So for this to happen to him, to get absolutely posterized is one thing. But to top it all off, Collins was out with a concussion. He got dunked on so hard that he went out of the game to be evaluated for a concussion. It is unbelievable. It is. I tweeted the picture of the poster. It's probably top three posters of all time. I'm picturing Kobe kind of rocking the cradle. I know you know that poster, what I'm talking about. I had it when I was little. And then Jordan jumping from the free throw line. And those are just iconic. From a pure, like, poster standpoint, probably Vince Carter jumping over the French dude in the Olympics. Maybe a Vince Carter one, and this. It's unbelievable. Now I want to know, actually, if there are better posters, please hit me up on Twitter. I really want to know, because it is unbelievable. Anthony Edwards is so awesome, and we've talked about him being the future face of the league. I genuinely believe that is coming. It's only a matter of time. And I think that we are witnessing it right now. Whenever LeBron's done, whenever all these old heads start to go out, Ant Edwards is, this is his league. Straight up, him and Wimby are just going to take over the league. And I can't wait to see it. I want to tell you about the easiest way to get some action on the NBA. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game. Just pick over or under on your favorite or least favorite player stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. You can also pick from Rivals, which pits two players against each other for a head-to-head matchup. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use the code TBF24, that's TBF24, and get your first deposit doubled up to $100 by Underdog. Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports.
Our attorney said we needed to create an ad and tell people to stop snorting Buffed. So here you go. Don't snort Buffed. Killer energy too powerful for a can. Made with 3 organic mushrooms, 4 nootropics, B vitamins, electrolytes, and caffeine, and flavors that it doesn't taste like dirt. It's refreshing and delicious. Buffed.
Calling all golfers. Do you have a problem 3-putting? If you said no, you were either in complete denial or you're just a straight up liar. Jokes aside, and in all reality, who doesn't? It's inevitable. We're all 3-putters. Well, let me introduce you to a new lifestyle brand for golf that is made for us. The 3-Putt Golf Company. Golf gear that meets the average golfer where they are, but looks like a professional brand. The first drop sold out in hours, but more are coming. Keep an eye out for the drop, discounts for That's Ball Folks listeners, giveaways, and more. 3-Putt Golf Company. Everybody 3-putts look good doing it. Are you sick of spending time caring for your lawn? Have you spent too much time mowing it or even just keeping it alive? Are you tired of wasting resources and money watering it? If you are like me, the answer is yes to all of those. You should consider artificial grass. Beehive Turf out of northern Utah will transform your yard into looking beautiful all year round. Check out Beehive Turf on Instagram. Give them a call today for a free quote. Beehive Turf, take the sting out of caring for your lawn. Okay, let's talk some March Madness. So I want to preface this with, first, if you are listening to this and you haven't already seen one of my posts and you want to join my March Madness group, you are more than welcome to do so. Send me a DM, a text, anything. Just send me your email. I will kick you the invite. It's $10 a bracket, winner take all. Last year, winner won like $800 or something like that. We're doing it again. So I'll preface it with that. Please join anyone, everyone, whoever's listening. Everybody's welcome. Second, I'm not going to spoil anything with my bracket or anything like that because that's not fun. But I do want to go over and just talk about some different matchups I like, talk about some possible upsets that I see, or at least just to keep your eye on, because there are a lot and I can't wait. The actual play-in games start tonight, which will be fun. All of the different, what are the different seeds? 16, I think there's some 16 seeds for play-ins and then some 10s. Anyway, I can't wait. I can't believe it's actually here. So let's go through it. We'll start with the East bracket. So we've got UConn, the clear, really the only number one seed who actually went on and won their conference. Everybody else disappointed and lost. I really feel good about UConn. I think the fact that they did do that and they are really the only team in the entire country who have looked strong throughout the season and could actually close out the conference, I think that's going to be really big. Their bracket, however, in the East, there are some other teams who are really good. Illinois is really good. Iowa State is really good. Auburn, really good. San Diego State even is really good. There are some good matchups and some fun games. If I had to pick one upset here, or at least to keep your eye on in the East, that's actually tough. I don't have one. I don't have one in the East. So I'm not going to give you one. How about that? But I do want to talk about this because I think it's funny. BYU, they do not play on Sundays. If you're listening to this and you know that already, awesome, congratulations. If you don't, it's a church thing. And because of this, BYU got bumped from a 5 seed to a 6 seed. Now, the reason this happened is so that they can play on Thursday and Saturday in the second round if they make it. Otherwise, they would have had to play on Friday. And if they would have won, they would have had to have their second round game on Sunday. And they don't do that. So rather than being a 5th seed, they got bumped to the 6th seed because they're the only school in the entire tournament who has a no play on Sunday policy. Isn't that interesting? Kind of fun. I saw a BYU fan complaining about it online, which made zero sense. Anyway, kind of fun. Let's jump to the South. Houston is the number 1 seed. Houston, again, they got blown out in their conference championship. But they are the strongest seed here. I fully expect them to do really well. The matchup that I love is Nebraska. And listeners of the pod, you guys know, because I put them on your radar a while ago, Kaisei Tominaga, Japanese Steph Curry, I cannot wait to watch him play. They get matched up with Texas A&M in an 8-9 matchup on Friday, but that is going to be a very fun game to watch. Wisconsin is also very strong. They end up beating Purdue in their conference tournament. I really like Wisconsin. I think they're very solid. Duke is also in this bracket. You got Kentucky, Marquette. I really like it. I am going to throw out a upset alert, and that's NC State. Anybody who watched the ACC tournament saw how good and how unbelievable NC State was. For the first time in ACC tournament history, they won 5 games in 5 days. They started playing in the first round on Tuesday, and they ended up going the entire way and winning the entire thing. I love that. I don't think they're going to slow down. I fully expect them to win their first round matchup. If you got to pick one upset, I really like that one. Keep your eye on NC State. Let's talk about the West. North Carolina is the number 1 seed. Again, they've looked really solid all year, but they get thrown in this bracket, which if you have to look at one bracket in the entire thing, like one of the little fourths, this one is probably the weakest. It's not a diss on North Carolina, because if you're a North Carolina fan, you got to be looking at this and licking your chops. You are feeling really, really good, because it's literally just you and Arizona. Baylor's okay. Alabama can score a lot of points. But other than that, it's pretty wide open. If I have to pick one upset in this little division, I really like Grand Canyon, the fun Arizona school, against St. Mary's, a 12-5. If you got to pick an upset, that's the one to keep my eye on. St. Mary's is a good squad, but I really, really like the way that Grand Canyon's been playing. They looked really good in their conference tournament. And we'll end with the Midwest. Purdue gets the one seed. Utah State gets some love here. Kansas is in it. Creighton, Tennessee. Okay, I'm going to break this down for you. I love Utah State. I think that they beat TCU. I think McNeese is playing against Gonzaga as another 12-5 matchup. McNeese is good. They are very good. And I may or may not have them going pretty far. So there you go. Talk about spoiler. Excuse me. If I had to pick an upset, that's the one to keep your eye on. I also really like Creighton. I've liked them all year. I also think that they go pretty far. Again, I didn't love their showing in their conference tournament, but if they put it together, they are one of the best teams, if not the best team in the entire country. Here's a fun thing about me. Every single March Madness bracket I've filled out my entire life, this isn't an exaggeration, I've picked Duke every single year. And I have the internal battle of like, okay, I know they're not going to win this year, but I'm so afraid if I don't put them that they're actually going to do it. Could they do it this year? Maybe. They're not bad. But I don't think that they're going to win it this year. And this might be the first year that I actually go against what I've done my whole life and not pick them. So, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I can't wait. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is the best weekend all year. Also, because it's my wife's birthday. Also, because it's my anniversary. So, man, just a beautiful weekend. And I can't wait. Anyway, there you go. There's a fun little breakdown. I love March Madness. I love college basketball so much. Truly, I mean this. If you're not in my group yet and you're listening to this, message me. I'll send you the link. $10. Join it. I talk with people all the time. They're like, I didn't watch college basketball this year. Guess what? It doesn't matter in March. Sometimes the less you know, the better your bracket does. And that's not an exaggeration. Shout out to my buddy, one of my best friends, Gavin. I got him hooked on it a couple years ago. And his bracket did so well, he didn't know anything about college basketball. And now he loves it. He looks forward to March. And that makes me so happy. So the same goes to you. If you don't know college basketball, doesn't matter. Jump in on this. Would love to have you. That's all I got. I love you guys, man. This is so fun. I love recording these. I'm sorry again about the delay. I'm going to be better. I'm actually traveling. I'm feeling better. It's going to be good. And next episode, we will dive in to the first and second round matchups and how they went and how everybody's brackets are doing. Anyway, hope you guys have a great week. Again, thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, review, do all that fun stuff. Hope you have a great week. And that's ball, folks.